You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
So this is what this album is as far as this band Cryptopsy that's been around for over 30 years. It's just that whatever, I guess, odds we've had to face, we just persevere, and we try to put out something that's enjoyable for us first and foremost, and then hopefully others will partake in the liking. You know.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hops heads? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians, talk all about their lives and music while sharing killer craft beers. I hope you've been having a killer September so far. I most certainly have been. This Vox and Hops episode is presented by Heavy Montreal. Heavy Montreal are Montreal's premier metal promoter, and trust me when I say, if you are ever in Montreal and you are looking for a show to go to, well, Heavy Montreal will have you covered. They put on so many shows all year long, and they are all simply bangers. I am beyond stoked to have Heavy Montreal behind the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. Now, before we jump into today's episode, I'd just like to ask you to follow the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast on the podcast platform of your choice. But more than that, I would love for you to tell a friend about the podcast. If there's someone in your life that just loves extreme metal, well, let them know that the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast exists. You can tell them that there are over 400 episodes where I sit down with some of the world's best metal musicians. We talk all about their lives and music while sharing killer craft beers. If you're to encourage one of your metalhead friends to become a brand new Vox and Hops head, that would be something that I would truly appreciate. Now, today's podcast is a very special one because it's celebrating the brand new Cryptopsy album, As Gomorrah Burns, which comes out this Friday via Nuclear Blast Records. Get ready, everyone. This is Vox and Hops episode number 425 with Flo Mounier, Christian Donaldson, Olivier Pinard, and myself. That's right, full Cryptopsy roundtable discussion about the brand new album. Let's go.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Today, I'm very stoked to be with my full bandmates, all my bandmates from Cryptopsy. This is a very special episode, an episode that I've actually never done. Three of my bandmates in the same Zoom call with me recording a podcast. I've had you all on the podcast individually, basically a roundtable discussion. We are doing this to honor, to celebrate the release of our new record, As Gomorrah Burns, which is coming up this Friday via Nuclear Blast Records. Boys, how you doing?
Good, good.
Doing good.
Well, I guess, can I call a friend to answer that one?
Cheers.
Guys, I'm so excited to be with you. We worked really hard to get this record together. I'm extremely proud of As Gomorrah Burns. It's Vox and Hops. Let's talk about what we're drinking. Chris, on your side, what are you drinking right now that are going to be sharing virtually with the rest of us?
The first Missorium I ever had in my life, Sepies Sutaya, which is a delicious, Missorium, like IPA, 7% alcohol volume. And it's really, Missorium taste. I love it.
Hell yes. The craft beer kings here in Montreal. I was hanging out with them last weekend, actually, at a ceremony. It was a damn good time. Thank you to them for inviting me there and having such a... It was just fucking awesome, as usual. Ollie, what are you drinking on your side tonight?
Oh, yeah. Check it out. I'm drinking a leftover from last night. Cheap-ass Bavaria. Yes. That someone just forgot in my fridge. So, free beer.
Free beer is a good beer. You know, I like that. Flo, what do you got on your side? And let's all be surprised when he tells us.
let the jokes come in.
I know you do you. Chris, Coors Light is Flo's drink of choice, and I respect that just as I respect everyone's differences. on my side, I'm drinking a cool beer that came to me. It's a collab with Bloodletter, which is a band from Chicago. This was brewed by Old Irving Brewing. It's a light lager, a different kind of Helles. Metal bands and their Helles. They love to make Helles collabs. This is just a light, nice 4.8% lager. Cheers, boys. First thing, let's celebrate a little bit. Here we are.
Cheers.
We worked hard. We deserve to have a beer together.
Chin.
As Gomorrah Burns. Let's just take it right from the top. I've been getting a lot of questions. I've been doing a lot of press. I've been getting asked this question. I would love to hear your answers about this record. Flo, what do you take away from this record? What do you take away from the overall experience of As Gamora Burns?
It was quite planned out to begin with. We kind of have like a set goal to make something a little bit maybe darker and catchier, but to keep the Cryptopsy vibe as always, and maybe even stronger this time around. So we, you know, you guys planned this the chalet thing, and we did that sort of composed later with later on with Chris, and Chris on his own did a lot of the finalizing of the compositions and what have you. And then the world stopped turning for a little bit. So we didn't lose track of the ultimate goal. It just took a longer time than we thought it would to achieve it. And a couple of years later, after having, you know, planned this out and composed it and hashed out some of the drum parts and whatever, here we find ourselves in the studio because it's the only time that we really could, because we were all so busy on our own. It was just a go. Some planned out stuff and a lot that wasn't, a lot of happy accidents that I think Chris and I love to play back and forth on in studio when we do studio work. And then things started, you know, adding on just like any album. You know, we've always started with the drums. Not a necessary thing. It could be quite the opposite, but we've always done it that way. And then you just see the pieces fall into place and, you know, how Chris pushes us to do what we can and to do the best that we can. And then just says, you know, don't worry about it.
I'll fix it later.
I'll take care of it.
It is a pleasure to work with Chris 100%.
It's a pleasure and an honor. And then we finally hear this after 3.5 years, if not more. And to be very honest, I was at first I was a little bit iffy, and then I'm just like listening. I'm like, oh my god, this is pretty crazy. This is pretty crazy shit. This is pretty unbelievable. And then the more I listened to it, I was like, I'm really happy. So very proud of what you guys did on this. Very honestly.
Thank you. I'm stoked. I'm very, very stoked with the end results and your performance, the happy accidents, some of your most interesting drumming coming out of just messing around in the studio with Chris, and Chris saying with Cryptopsy there's typical beats that we write to, the two-pack, the blast, and Chris basically writes his guitar parts with these in mind, and him just shooting these ideas at you and you just performing on the spot, just, you know, not many people can do that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it was a very stressful but fun experience.
Lots of stress went into As Gamora Burns. And Ollie, talk to me about your experience recording, and then we'll build upon that.
Because I think it's an important detail to mention that the world shut down while we were in the chalet.
It was so dark.
So that's all this album started. Like the it's so weird.
The anxiety.
Just thinking about it now, it feels surreal because we're just like, what's going on?
And we were super, super isolated, and people were freaking out, and we were going to the store to restock shrimps and sours, which is our hangover remedy for some of the members in the band. And it was basically then that people were stockpiling groceries. And Flo, yeah. I think you're one of the ones that were like, maybe we should like grab some groceries. It was a dark, weird time. That week was fucking crazy.
I think we loaded up on the toilet paper, no?
It was all us. It's Cryptopsy's fault. keep going, Ollie. Yeah, so the cabin in the woods, and then it went into pandemic mode.
I think we can hear it on the album, though, like the that feeling, you know, it's dark, it's very bizarre. Because the entire time during the lockdown, we were listening to what we had, what we
True.
Did, what we done at in the chalet. And it was so weird to just listening to riffs with the click track. And some parts I was like, I don't know what's going on. I'm lost. Like, So thank God for Chris, because he had like a clear like vision in his head of
what you think,
what the song. But I think
we trust you.
That's the impression you gave me. I'm extremely proud of this album. It's a lot of traps. There's a lot of Easter eggs too, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Non-So-Vile, Blasphemy, and Daniel Bang like references. I think it's pretty cool for Cryptopsy fans. If you pay attention, you will hear some stuff that I don't know if it's just mistakes or we did that by purpose.
But there's a lot of mistakes, but not those Easter eggs. That's for sure.
No, the references, the references we planned out. It's been so long that we don't remember.
That is true. How about you, Chris? You're very close to this project. The person that was involved from A to Z in everything. The rest of the members, we had the pleasure and maybe misfortune to step in, complete our sessions, and then step away, and then come back once more things have been added. But you were there the whole time. Talk to me about Asgamora Burns. What it means to you, and how much effort and work and suffering you put into it.
The hardest thing about all of the project is like try to always to go back and forth. You know, we're trying to do something, we try to focus on something, and then we have to let go for a bit. So like every idea that you might have will just like evolve into a way. So like the idea that you thought was good, now you think it's shit. So you have always have to fight your own
self-doubt,
your own self. So, that's the big issue. But, the cool thing about this is like, I've been in this band long enough to understand what everybody's strengths are. So because of that, I can say that, okay, so this, he will do that. He will do that. And this exactly what can happen, you know? So I'm like, okay, so I know this has to be a flow moment. So let's just flow. Give me whatever you have. And then it happens, you know? So that's the cool thing about this. I might say yes, I might have orchestrated everything, but it would not have been possible if it was not, you know, if you guys weren't in the band, you know?
The key members together, us four working together, is really what made this album be what it is, and it's our collaborative efforts. We are the longest running Cryptopsy lineup. I keep doing a bunch of interviews, as I mentioned earlier, up to the release of the record, and everyone's saying, why did it take you 10, 11 years to release a new album? And I'm like, dude, we've been so busy. We wrote two EPs. We toured the world. We've been so god darn busy. So it has not been 10 years since we've released new material. We've been working on this album for about 3 years, and life just sort of stepped in the way, which sort of allowed us to analyze every aspect of this record.
And we never, ever, ever called it quits.
Which is
quite important to mention.
Never.
So now, Matt, what's your take on this?
Why, thank you. I had a great experience with the record. It was very strange, as you guys mentioned, in the cabin in the woods. Extremely unsettling. I remember we wrote the end of Praise of the Filth there, the big dark outro, and right away I remember Chris and Ollie being like, this is the last part of the album, this is and then there's this overlying thematical theme throughout the album of malaise, is the way that I've been looking at it. It's like dark, but not in this new essence of what a lot of bands are doing, dragging black metal essence into death metal. It's more so the darkness and malaise of, let's say, Neurosis that we're bringing into Cryptopsy, which is just a feeling of dread and unease, is something that we wanted to bring. And I'm proud that we've really accomplished that. And I'm also proud of the grooviness of the record, because it really bounces, and that really stems to us thinking and analyzing what happened, what worked in the past of the history of the band, the legacy of the band, Non-So-Vile era. Why do people love Non-So-Vile so much? It's because it's so goddamn catchy and it grooves.
If I can just add a little something, I mean, what was really very special and almost mesmerizing is like every time I was writing or recording a song from any of you guys, it was like Flo's part or Ollie's part of your part or mine. Every time I was recording the part officially, I kind of relive all those weird moments all the time. I just remember when we recorded the last riff of that stuff. We were supposed to get Ollie's, man, but it was like the gloomiest, rainiest day in the world.
Yeah,
we couldn't get to him. And I feel like whatever happens, I just relive all this all the time. I just record the part again. So I feel like this album kind of, I lived it like, you know, a lot of times. It's
you definitely put a lot of effort into it. What would it be some of the biggest complications, would you guys say? For myself, I think the pandemic put a big halt in our momentum would be something.
Well, the snowstorm with me and Flo, that was quite intense though. I think it took us like, 3-4 hours to go to the studio, to get to the studio or something.
Like almost every day we recorded.
God damn.
There was something.
Life was against us.
this is what this album is as far as this band Cryptopsy that's been around for over 30 years. It's just that whatever, I guess, odds we've had to face, we just persevere. And, We try to put out something that's enjoyable for us first and foremost, and then hopefully others will partake in the liking. You know,
we're very lucky that we get to do what we do. It's a privileging thing to compose music and enjoy it ourselves and challenge ourselves, and then to release it. It's something that not a lot of people get to do. So I find myself very privileged and grateful that we get to do that for sure. Other complications aside from the weather, a global pandemic. What else was against us when it came to releasing, writing, and recording this record?
I'm not going to say relationships, but maybe relationships.
And... Yeah, relationship for sure. probably like the distance, because we are so spread all around. We were all spread all around, like all over the place at that time. So it was kind of hard to gather and
get into a room together to just actually work on something.
Like the first time ever we tried to write, like, you know, not in the same room, that was a total disaster.
Yeah, I mentioned that in the press release, saying that it was sufferable trying to do these Zoom recording things. So
oh my
thank
God.
You Zoom for letting us do this right now, but writing a record in a Zoom meeting sucks.
Yeah. Especially Cryptopsy music is so complicated and we need to be together to understand what's going on. You know,
Ali and I at one point, like 3 years ago, we started doing a couple sessions in the jam space.
Yeah,
and then it's just like, well, we can't even do that anymore. So it was kind of just what the fuck.
It's hard to make an album where we're not allowed to see each other, to be together. You know, it's weird to think about it now. It seems pretty unreal, but
I'm glad it's all behind us, and here we are, and we are together tonight, and we are releasing a record. What would be some of your shining parts of the record? What is it, something that you're mostly proud of in your own playing, in someone else's playing? A favorite song, hypothetically, what would be when your friends come over to your house, what do you play first, type thing? Go for it, Chris.
It's funny. I mean, I have to admit that the first track on the record is kind of special to me because it's there's a whole bunch of personal like references to my personal life. But the first song is like this something that a very close person of mine was like kind of humming to me since I'm very, very young. And I kind of made a riff out of this. So it kind of is this bit of a special thing to me. So
I think it's super cool that you did that. And it ended up becoming a working title that we basically still call the song to this day. So I do think it's very cool that you homaged this person from your life in a record for eternity, hypothetically, if music could exist forever.
But you know how it is. Sometimes, like, you know, as an artist, you know, I don't want to speak for myself, but you don't plan these things. And if you do, you're not a real artist, you know, so they just like hit you. And this is what happens, you know, like these little things, like, for example, some memories kind of hit me back and I just like decided to, hey, how about I just do something with this old memory? And then here it is. But, you know, I mean, and after that, it is good or it's not good to the audience, but at least I tried to do something with it myself.
Hell yes. How about you, Flo? What are you proud of about this record? Someone's performance, your performance, a favorite moment?
No, I'm really proud of yourself's performance. I think that your vocals are incredible and for extreme metal so articulate.
Thank you. That was a number one goal with stepping into the studio with Chris to really make sure that people could understand what I was saying.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of the times that they can, a lot of the times it's a little bit difficult, but, and there's always the old school references with the, and, you know, and then, you know, what Chris is playing and Ollie's playing, and then the sound, and the sound is brutal. So I'm really proud of that. As far as I'm concerned, I wanted to initially put more groove into this, or longer grooves. And then when I listened back to it, I'm like, well, you know, there is enough for Cryptopsy, but a lot of the parts would have been much different with that in mind, and it didn't call for that. It called for that chaos, which it is. It's a very controlled chaos. I'm just proud of where it goes all around, and all the little surprises and rewind moments. You know, I'm thinking about cassette tapes. Rewind moments. that there are on this album. So just, you know, I'm just happy in general with it.
Awesome. How about you, Ollie?
Pretty proud of everything on the album, like the songwriting, the performances. But I like it doesn't sound like the Book of Suffering, or it doesn't sound like the self-titled. It's completely different. It's unique. Like every Cryptopsy album, they are so different, like one from another. I'm very proud of the last two. I mean, all the songs, I like all of them, but the last two songs for Cryptopsy for me is very special. It's so dark. It's unique. They're like wacky at some parts, but then the ending, the final parts of the album, it's so soul crushing.
No, we call it scrap dinghy.
Scrap dinghy.
it had a working title of scrap ding, which was our working title, which means what, I don't know, but it's not, you're not doing well.
Yeah, no. It's hangover music.
it's like listening back to it in the morning and saying, "Oh, scrap ding, this is crazy."
A lot of people today in the interviews I was doing, they were mentioning too, specifically mentioned The Righteous Loss as such a bass showcasing track. Talk to us about that, about having the ability and the freedom to basically just play around the riffs.
Yeah, but actually that bass part it's from Chris. It was on Neurotic Death Fest 2013, actually. We were backstage and Chris was just humming that part, and then he started playing the bass part on his guitar, and I took a video of that. And now 10 years later, we are using it on the album,
which is pretty crazy. See, I didn't know that.
But I still have that video from the Neurotic Death Fest.
But the funny thing about this is like this riff is coming back from the Once Was Not tour as well. So that's the thing. I kind of just like remembered it at Neurotic Death Fest.
Holy shit.
And now it's on the album. Like, I think it's
about time.
So, because sometimes you have a part in mind and you don't know where or how to use it, but now that was the perfect place for it. The bass part is—I call it—it's my brum brum brum, like the Mudvayne thing. The thing. It's the death metal version of that.
What I really like about this part is like I remember I showed you like what I had in mind, but you just did something different, and I was like, "That's it. That's even better." So that's what I wanted.
Best of both worlds. No, I like that song. Actually, it's one of my favorite for obvious reason.
It's my wife's favorite. She absolutely adores your playing on that.
sick.
I love it. I'm proud of everything. When I showcase people the tracks there, I do gravitate towards Praise the Filth. I think it's just such an intricate song, and I feel we tracked that song last, Chris, vocals as well, and I feel like I really finally kind of understood the groove elements that you're trying to bring to my patterns in the work of the album and coming in on the upbeat. And I felt finally around that point, I sort of like, oh, I understand now. So it was a bit more fun. So that song definitely has a sweet spot in my heart. And that ending is so, so dark. The concept of the album is something that I had prior to us even stepping into the cottage. I had interviewed Mike DeSalvo on a Vox and Hops episode, and he had mentioned that Cryptopsy was originally called Gomorrah. And for some reason, that just stuck in my mind. And with me becoming so horribly addicted to social media since I launched Vox and Hops, it's sort of like a problem I have aside from other problems in my life. But social media addiction is, and me just being constantly trying to figure out stuff and looking and stuff and trying to grow the podcast, I sort of analyzed my relationship with the internet, and that caused me to come up with the concept of Sodom and Gomorrah versus that of the internet. Talk to me about how you guys feel about this. Is there a danger of the internet? How do you feel about my crazy concept here? Ollie, go for it.
I mean, I feel you 100% with that because I'm addicted to social media. I'm always on like Facebook, Instagram, and I don't know why I do that, but I'll always read comments like all the time, and this thing really affect me. And it's hard not to, but it's like comments on our video or songs or whatever we post on social media. It's hard to deal with negativity, but for a reason, I'm like attracted to it. I need to go back and see. Oh.
We definitely only ever remember the negative comments. That's for sure.
Oh, no, for sure.
We don't remember any of those positive comments.
We don't?
I try to, but for some reason it goes in and goes, and it's like, you suck. And that's the one that I remember.
That's human nature, but I guess it's good. It's pretty good to make us better, but that's human nature. I think it's like a really old, like Cro-Magnon thing in your brain that you try to remember the negative so you can be aware of whatever, you know?
There's a bear over there. Oh, yes, there's a bear over there. I'm not going to go over there.
You're not going to look at all the flowers. You look at the bear, you know?
You only learn from your mistakes, guys.
And, my career you guys speaks of that.
Well, and then again, I was listening to that very recently, and I thought it was just amazing for what it was. So, yeah, internet's fun. You know, gives everybody a voice. You know, some people shouldn't necessarily have a voice. I don't particularly think I should have a voice. I'd like to. It's a way of showcasing what we're doing and fast. As opposed to how it used to be, because I lived how it used to be, and I lived touring how touring used to be, and yeah, things have changed dramatically. But I don't think we should get too involved in the process, because we're still playing what we want to play. We're not playing something that somebody tells us to play. So at one point, it becomes very a very personal thing. So we do what we want to do. If people like it, good. If they don't, that's good too. You know, I don't necessarily like what you eat. I don't necessarily like what you do. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to call you out on it necessarily. So, to each their own. And I think that this album reflects, that, as far as the, your ideology in it, Matt, and the lyrics and, it's for me, I agree with it. And, you know, Gomorrah was originally Cryptopsy for like, you know, 0.2 seconds, but that's what it was. And to come back 30 years later and to reflect it and give her all and stuff is just, an amazing, feat that we're still here, you know, doing it. And, you know, hate to pat myself on the back or us, you know, but very well. So I think it's very fitting, very, very fitting as a concept.
Well, thank you. I think it's just, and every day as new things come out, 'cause like ChatGPT didn't exist when I created the concept, or maybe it didn't, I just wasn't aware of it. All the AI art and music that's coming out now is not something that I was aware of. So I think it's even just more relevant as the technology advances. How about you, Chris? What's your take on the concept of the internet being a great thing, but also a negative thing?
Why? I don't know, dude. Honestly, I mean, like, we all live with internet every day, and I feel like right now it's like, it's a necessary evil, like where we live now. Like, we need it. If we don't have it, like, nothing happens. Like, for example, you need your phone to do everything these days, or almost everything. So I feel like if you don't adhere to these new technology, well, you will just, you won't be able to do it for that long. But on the other hand, as you said before, the problem about this is, like, everybody has a voice, and it's just really it shows people's true color, and that's what's scary at some point. I mean, I'm not, there's a lot of things that I don't like about someone, but I it doesn't matter. I'm not going to say it out loud, but right now there's some people really takes a lot of pleasure just to just put it out there, like, I love to hate, and I love to receive hate comments, and I guess that's probably what drives them or something, which is okay, but I feel like that's the main issue. I don't think it's the, you know, I don't think it's the best way to approach your existence, just like living into a hateful, or just like hate everything and just being very proud at hating things and show it to the world. That's the main issue about internet that I find these days, you know, but
it's a dangerous, dark, dark way of living your life. That, yeah.
Chris made a great point about the internet showing people's true colors. That's a very pinpoint kind of, but it's absolutely true. It's like, oh my God, you know, how, you know, I mean, I knew there were some crazy people. I mean, I've been in death metal for years and years and years. That's been the topic for, you know, every song practically that we've ever written, and in other projects as well, and blah, blah, blah. And now you just see, like, what are these people thinking? You know what I mean? I mean, to be extreme is one thing, and musically, and it's interesting to talk about death and hate and all that stuff. It's also interesting to talk about love. And that's, I mean, I think music has proven that to us over the years. That's pretty much all that people talk about in pop music. But to see these people pulling off these things and wanting so much attention for, you know, for little talent and stuff, it's just wow. It's like, you know, what you know, instead of hitting the books, or instead of hitting the soccer ball, or instead of hitting the guitar or stuff like that when you were a kid, what the fuck happened to you? You know what I mean? You just hit your friends and recorded it. There you go. Now you're a star, you know?
Yeah, that's scary shit. No,
it is scary. It is scary, and that's the reality we live in. And then we wonder why
the world is going to shit.
The powers to be want a cleansing. You
know? For myself, something that concerns me is that people are no longer bored, or are incapable of being bored. I think that's an issue. I think that a lot of amazing discoveries were made when people were bored. And I think that people that have an insatiable need of being entertained, I think that's dangerous.
And attention, or just entertained?
Both, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, both. Because now, because social media gave people a voice, but it also gave some of them some glory, or some of them become famous on TikTok and all that stuff, but they're like, they're not even 20 years old and they have like millions of followers.
Exactly.
That create like a new genre of person, you know.
That's true.
They become famous by doing nothing, really.
It creates a new role model for younger people, which is very scary.
Absolutely. Very scary. What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be
a TikTok sensation.
Which is what?
And for how long are you gonna do that, you know? You got to be trendy for what, 6 months?
You got to cash out at the right time, people.
Yeah. So what's next?
But I mean, you know, who are we to to tell them what to do if that's what they want to do. Yeah, I mean,
exactly.
You know, it's like if they made it, then, well, you actually did something doing nothing. Congratulations.
But it's just also a scary thing to think that nowadays you need to be on TikTok and all these platforms in order to get attention from the new generation or whatever. Like, it can be a good thing, but it's also, I don't know, man. I don't want to do the clown on TikTok and start dancing and making jokes, you know? It should be about the music.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hopsheads? I just want to take a little moment about Cryptopsy's upcoming tours. That's right, I'm talking about the Scream of Perseverance tour and our headliner dates that coincide with that tour called As Summer Burns. The Scream of Perseverance tour is kicking off at the end of May and runs all the way until the end of June. We are supporting the mighty Death to All. We are going all over the United States and we are hitting some of Canada. So excited to be honoring the legendary music of death alongside amazing musicians that performed on these albums. Even more stoked to be doing some headliner dates in some cities that I've actually never played in. If you are planning to come to any of these shows, you should definitely grab your tickets by going to voxandhops.com/summer, and you will be able to grab all of your tickets there. That's voxandhops.com/summer. Do it, people. Come hang out with me. Enjoy life, metal, and craft beer in your hometown. Come to a show. We're going to have a great time. Now, enough about all of that. Let's get back to the episode. The cover art of As Gamora Burns was painted by Paolo Girardi, the Italian artist. Talk to me about your perceptions of seeing it come together. I remember that when I came up with the name, I also came up with, we were talking about, like, what are we going to, it's about the internet. What is this going to be? And I remember those discussions that it couldn't be like anything to do with like the Matrix or like, or anything that was too old because we wanted to be relevant. But we also discussed about going back and hypothetically going back to a classical painting style to honor the Nonsovile era. And I started searching and I found these screenshots of these Renaissance paintings of Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed, and I sent them you guys' way, and you guys are like, okay, no, we understand this. And I can't remember if it was Ollie or Chris, you guys mentioned, oh, the bat should be the one that's destroying the city, and I was like, that's it.
Yeah, I think Chris mentioned that, and what a sick cover it is, right? The painting is like probably one of my favorite Cryptopsy like artwork ever. It's so, I don't know, there's something special about it. Just the way the bat to look at you, it's so mean.
but yeah, but is it destroying the city or is it?
He's like rising out of the city in.
Oh, so is it destroying or is it?
I'll leave that open to him.
That's what I love.
Paolo took his artistic liberties. How about you, Chris? What do you think about this cover art? What were your first... because I basically over 4 days it took him to paint it, I would send you guys updates as he was sending them to me.
You really want to ask me? I don't know, man. I'm blind, dude. I hear stuff. I don't look at stuff. But honestly, the thing that really mesmerized me is like most of the time, like they send you sketches and most of the time, like they are, I don't know, like telling you, do you like where it's going? And not him. It was like, I'm painting. This is it. And thank God it was sick.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true. He nailed it. He nailed it in 4 days. Flow for yourself.
I mean, yeah, like I said, it's for me, it's really up to interpretation. You know, bringing back the classical bat, if we wish.
This is something I don't know. Where did the bat come from and whose idea was that originally for Whisper?
Oh my, we want this out in public? it came out of one of my Choose Your Own Adventures books.
Really?
Just paperback book. I had a bunch of Choose Your Own Adventure. I liked it. I'd always die really soon though. But yeah, it was just on there and I just loved it. And then at one point, we had released it for Whisper and all that stuff because I thought it was kind of clever because I don't think it's a demon. My interpretation of it is not a demon. I've always more interpreted it as a gargoyle, something to scare away the demons and the evil spirits. But and then at one point I decided to get as a tattoo, and my artist David Cummings from Montreal, who's an old buddy of mine from school, he said, well, let's make it symmetrical or more symmetrical. Yeah. And that's what happened to the new bat.
There's been so many versions of the bat, which is the whisper, the your tattoo that ended up becoming on Once Was Not. There's the Philip Ivanovic reimagining of it for the crisp mm-hmm. Topsy beer that Kanawaki Brewing makes. And mm-hmm. now there's Paolo's. Someone asked me today, is the bat basically turning into becoming Cryptopsy's Eddie? And I was like, there's no way there's a bat running around on stage like this there.
No, but yes, I mean, you know, people see that symbol and they know what band it is. That's for sure.
Absolutely. The videos, let's talk about that. I have a whole episode coming out next week where we covered little snippets from where I talked to you guys about that. Now, 3-4 months later, the videos are finished, they're released. Talk to me about your what you feel about In Abeyance and Flayed the Swine. Let's start with Chris.
I told you I'm blind. I love it. I mean, anything that is visual, I have to admit that I leave probably 100% like liberty to anybody who has more saying than myself about this. But I probably would not be the one to judge about anything visual unless it's really bad. But everything was really good, and maybe like a few little pinpointers that I saw that I just like said, you should probably change this and this and this. But everything came up exactly the way we wanted. And what I like about those videos also is like it probably has the same kind of color as the cover too, so that makes a lot of sense.
That totally works in. And Chris Kells, who directed the videos, I had sent him the album cover, so he definitely chose those, that palette color to fit everything. It just fits this album, everything that we've created for it, everything that we've released for it so far falls within the same realm, the same sphere. How about you, Ollie? The experience of it was the first time we were together, which was a really nice moment. That first performance day upstairs at Piranha Bar when we shot, I think it was for Flight
the Swine. The Spice Icon and Black Dahlia.
Correct.
Thing. It was a cool day. But I feel the same as Chris. I'm not the best to judge like visuals and stuff, but working with Kells, I mean, I was not worried about anything. I knew we were going to look good. The video is, both of them are so sick. And we barely had any like... stay on the, no, not stay, but you know, the final editing, it was pretty much he nailed it like pretty much right away. So we didn't have to put out a list with like a
this time stamp.
We had like just a few minor things, but so no, really easy, really smooth to work with Chris. It's always a pleasure. We did what, 4 videos with him?
This is the 4th video that we've done with
4 videos, and all of them are different and they all look so sick.
And he's really grown as a film director, I find, and a videographer.
Especially for Flay the Swine, with the acting and stuff, it's so sick. Yeah, I had goosebumps the first time I watched it.
Good.
It was sick.
How about you, Flo? Talk to me about your experience coming, getting on the kit, and getting it out, and then seeing everything be put together afterwards.
Amazing. Felt super at ease. Chris is a complete pro. Like you said, this is our 4th video with him, so this is our go-to guy. Has been for a little bit, and just came out. You know, it kind of felt effortless, you know, and because we knew we were in great hands. But the songs are important to reflect. And my problem with videos a lot of the times is that there's so much visual going on that you don't really get a sense of what's going on musically. And with Chris, it's a different story. It's he's a musician himself, so he knows how to, you know, capture the song and not pull the audience away too much from what it is, because this is what Cryptopsy is. It's all about songwriting and the song itself. It's, you know, there's lots of stories that we can tell. But when it all comes down to it, it's about performance. So for us trying to do a video with an actor, I mean, you know, I had my doubts about it, but it's
the first time that we've ever had a storyline in any Cryptopsy.
Yeah. So it was grand. It's great. It's amazing. So he did a wonderful job.
Hell yes. I echo what everyone's saying. Always a pleasure to work with Chris. I've known him for over 20 years. To watch someone grow up next to someone that I've made horrible life decisions with, and now we're making good life decisions together, it makes me very happy. Let's do closing remarks, stuff, something that you want people to know about Asgamora Burns, a closing statement from each of you. We'll wrap this up. We're going to keep hanging out, but not with people listening. We'll start with you, Ollie. What do you want people to take away from As Gamora Burns?
Shit your pants. I don't know. to be honest, just like take the time to listen to it. Like just sit down, relax, listen, enjoy the album. There's so many like details. There's so many things going on. Don't listen to it on your iPhone speaker. No. Just play it on a nice system, crank it loud, and have fun. We made it for you to enjoy and, you know, bring you good times.
Absolutely. How about you, Chris?
It's funny because I wanted to say exactly what Ollie said. So now I have to think, what else can I say? But
no. Say the same thing.
Shit your pants
more. Okay. Shit your pants and slit your guts. I don't know. No, actually it's in these day and age, it's so rare that people just sit down, even myself. Like, I mean, I don't even take time to sit down and listen to a record. I don't have the time, or I don't take the time. I don't know. I don't know what changed in my focus. But I remember back in the days, I was taking the time to listen to full records, and that was magical. I took the time to listen to this one for like, you know, millions of thousands of reasons, because, you know, I was recording it and mixing it. But honestly, it was every time I listened to it, it was quite an experience. And even like all the Easter eggs that I know that we've put in, every time they just pleased me. And I was like, oh my fucking God, I forgot about this one. Oh, that was so good. So yeah, just sit down, relax, do mushrooms and have fun.
Yes.
Next level. How about you, Flo? Closing remarks on Asgamora Burns.
I mean, kind of exactly the same thing. I mean, I was going to say there's still, you know, six more songs that nobody's heard yet. So, this is one of the only records that I've listened to a lot, and not because it's ours. It's because I find there's something interesting every time I listen to it. I've heard a lot of music over the years, and I don't know, this one's just fun. And so, yeah, listen to it on a good system, just like Ollie said. Listen to it on a good system, or blast it in your car when you're driving by an old folks home and give them the finger. I don't know, do whatever you want, or a cop station, whatever you want, you know, have fun with the government. Yeah, go blast it by the government buildings and give me your finger, because you're paying them to do you, not the other way around. But count. Try counting. Try counting this one, because when you listen to this, it's effortless. Everything flows really well in and out of every riff. And that's great, right? Because it's probably all 4/4. That's why it flows so well, right? Or it's all triplets, right? Because it's a little bit, you know, groovier, jazzier, and it flows. No, count it. Count it out. Count it out, or try headbanging to it.
Yeah, and the then, traps get you.
And then send us your comments and say how shitty you think that this band has progressed and what have you. Just try doing that and then figure it out for yourself and interpret it the way you want to interpret it, and leave a comment or not. At this point, we care about, obviously, all the positivity and we care about all the constructive negativity, because it helps us grow from album to album. So just enjoy it. And I mean, if you do, then come see us live. Come hang out with us, you know, and we'll try to to duplicate it live. No, we will.
We're gonna nail it. We got this.
Of course, we're gonna nail it. You know, we always have. But we have 3 years to catch up, and we have 3 years to catch up with the fans that will be enjoying this as well. So it's been a while. We're looking forward to going back out.
Absolutely. Excellently said. On my side, I echo what you all said. Take the time to listen to it. A to Z, good sound system. Hypothetically, crack a nice craft beer while you enjoy it. Album's dropping this Friday, September 8th. Get ready, people. It's coming. Boys, this was a pleasure. I can't wait to hang out real soon. We're going to keep hanging out right now, but not with the Vox and Hops heads listening. Massive cheers to you guys for taking some time to hang out with me.
Thank you, Matt.
Hey, thank you all so much for listening right to the end. You know that I love and appreciate that. Man, this was an awesome conversation. This is something that I had in mind to do to celebrate the release for a very long time, and I'm very, very excited that I finally sat down with my bandmates in a roundtable discussion for the podcast. I've actually never done that before, which is funny, over 400 episodes, and I've never just had all of my bandmates on the podcast at once. I have obviously had them all on separately, but having them all together is a different dynamic. It's super fun to hang out with my boys, and I cannot wait to hang out with them way more because we are heading out on tour. The Carnival of Death tour starts this Thursday, September 7th, and runs all the way till October 6th. The Carnival of Death tour features Cryptopsy, of course, Abysmal Dawn, Hate, Visceral Disgorge, Reaping Asmodea, and Warforge. Get your tickets now. Head on over to cryptopsy.ca, and you can grab some tickets via the links there. Massively stoked that the Cryptopsy boys came and hung out with me. It was a blast. Now, if you enjoyed this Vox and Hops episode, you should sign up to the Vox and Hops Total Podcast mailing list. You can do that on my website, voxandhops.com. That's voxandhops.com. And when you do that, you shall receive one email a week that contains all of the details of everything that has happened recently in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. You'll get to see which episodes I dropped recently. You'll get to see which episodes I have coming up. You will also get to hear about any projects I have in the works before I announce them to the public. You will also get to hear about anything going on in the world of Cryptopsy, and there's a lot of stuff going on with Cryptopsy right now, so the mailing list will keep you up to date on that. You will also get to see which albums the Vox and Hops album review crew have reviewed recently, and you will get to see which albums Jerry Monk, Vox and Hops' metal architect, has added to the Brutal Awakenings playlist. If ever you're looking for new music to listen to, well, you should listen to the new Cryptopsy as Gamora Burns. Just kidding, but you should listen to it. Apart from that release, Jerry finds the best new releases and puts them all onto the Brutal Awakenings playlist for our listening pleasure. So check it out. It's available on both Apple Music and Spotify. There's always a lot of stuff going on in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, and I hate when you miss a single thing, so please do me a favor and sign up to the mailing list. The Vox and Hops Metal Podcast is brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts. I hope you have a killer rest of the week. I will be back next week with one episode on Tuesday with Chris Kells, the videographer who filmed, directed, and edited all of the brand new Cryptopsy videos. But until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hops heads.
One Hit Thunder is a podcast where we both celebrate and have a good laugh about bands and artists that had just one hit that we all know. Each week, we're joined by a guest from the world of music or comedy to learn more than you ever thought you would about some songs that you can't forget, and we decide if they brought the One Hit Thunder or were nothing more than a one hit blunder. Look, if you listen to the show, you're probably going to laugh, and I guarantee you're going to crush next time the bar has music trivia. Tag Team, Jane Child, Meredith Brooks, Looking Glass, Sean Mullins, Eiffel 65, EMF, Crash Test Dummies, Crazy Town, Chumbawamba. We have hundreds of episodes in our back catalog and a new episode each week, so pass the Dutchie, make sure you're connected, and subscribe to One Hit Thunder wherever you get your pods.